Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
The tourney has finally arrived, and Fox Super 6 has you covered all tournament long with six contests, one for every round. Download the Fox Super 6 app now and answer six questions about round one for your shot at $1,000 guaranteed prize. It's completely free to play.
I made a huge bet yesterday.
Yeah?
Yep. A lot of money.
I bet I can guess who you bet on.
Who?
Will you tell me if I guess right?
Yeah.
Gonzaga?
No. Well, they're not good to bet because they're such a favorite.
Oklahoma State.
Little bit of money.
So I was right?
I actually bet against somebody yesterday.
Oh, okay.
I bet against Georgetown because I watched Colorado play twice in the last 2 weeks and they get buckets. And Georgetown played poorly the whole year but had a great tournament. So everybody loves their story. But historically, getting hot in the tournament, in your conference tournament, doesn't mean anything. So it's like a 6-point spread. I took Colorado.
Mm.
Yeah.
Never- a lot of money?
Well, I mean, I'm a reasonable man, but it was a lot of money for me. Darius Butler made his fair share. Former NFL defensive back, Colts, Patriots, Panthers, almost a decade in the NFL. And he's from Connecticut. Second-round pick from UConn. They were just building up that program. He was one of their first stars, and Darius is now joining us live. 15 career picks. So, you know, it's interesting. When you think of New England, you don't think of big, flashy free agents. But then you go back and you start thinking, well, no, they actually, Bill loves NFL personnel. He's not a great drafter necessarily, but he's always been good with NFL people. So when you saw the Patriots spending spree, Darius, what was your first takeaway?
You knew Bill was going to come out firing. He didn't like taking those L's last year. And I think he did a decent job last year with the roster that he had. But he signed some good players. Jonnu Smith's a good player. Obviously, Henry. Good players all up and down that roster. Bill knows his people. They're coming from good programs and good coaches. So Bill's reloaded, man. Now Cam's another year in the system. Who knows?
You know, not everybody. It's interesting about free agents is if you're a college guy and get drafted to the Patriots, you're going to listen.
Yep.
You're going to listen to Bill. He's the Messiah. But if you're an NFL guy and you've made good money, and then you go to New England, and Darius, their style is very much be selfless. Not everybody buys into the Patriots when they come in as a free agent. Now, you bought into the Patriots. You fit. But did you see some guys, or would you talk to players who are like, I'm not dealing with Belichick, and that it doesn't work for everybody?
Yeah, actually, you know, coming in, you know, that was the first experience in the NFL I had. So I'm like, dang, this is how things are done on this level, huh? But I didn't buy in. Kind of got in the doghouse my second year and never really got out. But as veterans, you know, once you get there, you kind of already have heard all of the New England stories. You heard, you know, the quote-unquote Patriot way. So you're going there to win. You know, you're going there to be a part of the team. You know what you're getting yourself into. And that's what guys do. They want to go there to win. And that's what these guys, they talk to people. They talk to other players around the league. So trust me, they know exactly what they're signing up for.
So Bears get Andy Dalton. And I said this the other day with Ryan Fitzpatrick to Washington. I would have kept Alex Smith because you can sell his leadership to players. They won five or six games last year. Or I would have gotten Sam Darnold because I can sell his athleticism and his ceiling to players. But to get Ryan Fitzpatrick, it would be hard for me to go to veteran players and say, yeah, he's 38. You know, he plays about seven games a year. Do you worry at all when you get an Andy Dalton or you get a Ryan Fitzpatrick that the players don't – they're not – players aren't dumb. They know who can play and who can't. That you may not get buy-in from the players.
It's hard. Yeah, it's hard to get new guys to come in. It's hard to sign free agents looking that want to win in their career to come in and sign it on with Fitzpatrick being there. He's a good guy to kind of plug in and keep the ship afloat. But they got to go out and get a young, dynamic quarterback. Obviously, they missed with Dwayne Haskins, but you got to go young. I'm with you in there. I'd rather keep Alex Smith there than go out and get Fitzmagic. But they went out there and did what they could do. The Bears, I mean, poor Bears fan, man. They thought they were getting Deshaun, thought they were getting Russell Wilson, and ended up with Andy Dalton, who's, you know, not a terrible quarterback, but once again, he's not, he's, you can't sell that guy to other free agents at all.
Yeah. Were you surprised? Now, Seattle is going to keep Russell Wilson, but according to stories today, they went to Chicago, they listened, they slept on it, and they decided we're going to keep Russell. What was your takeaway watching that unfold?
I mean, I don't see Seattle trading Russell, especially not this year. You know, holding that $39 million dead cap hit, I just don't see him moving. Was surprised that Russell even ruffled any feathers. You know, but this is the new NFL. You know, guys are using their platform, they're using their power, and for him to come out and say, yeah, I didn't say I wanted to be traded, but if I am traded, it's these four teams that I like to go to. Bears did a good job of, you know, letting their fans know, letting the people know that they went out there and at least tried, took a swing at it. You know, obviously couldn't do it, and, you know, landed and ended up with Andy Dalton. But the Russell Wilson saga, I think it continues for at least another year. And it won't be quiet, honestly, until he comes out and really says, like, hey, you know, we're going for it. You know, go Hawks. I'm here to keep, you know, try to win the championship with this team. But unless he comes out and kind of breaks that silence, you know, I don't think that the noise is really going anywhere. But I ultimately don't see him moving from Seattle this year.
You know, it's it is interesting. Some of these free agent fits I don't love. Some I do love. You know, Deshaun Watson's situation's interesting. He's basically saying, I'm holding out. Did you ever consider holding out? Do you defend players who hold out? Like when you look at Deshaun, go back to your career, the guys that held out, did it usually work in their favor or did it backfire?
Every situation is different. But a guy like Deshaun, he I feel like he has the leverage with this team. You know, usually guys in their prime of their career, you don't see them being available, but he signed that deal last year and he basically came out, and the Houston, they've done everything wrong along the way to lose Deshaun, and everybody knows his character around the league. You know what kind of talent you have, and they've pretty much fumbled that bag. And they've signed Tyrod, which basically shows to me that they're kind of positioning to play hardball. But I think the Houston Texans should move on from Deshaun, move on from him before the draft, because as a team, as a locker room, as a coach, you got a new head coach, a new GM. You're trying to create a winning coach, and you can't do that if your main guy, you know, doesn't want to move forward and with the team. And as far as the player holding out, I'm always pro player. I'm always a player doing what's best for them, whether it comes to money or legacy, more so here with Deshaun. And, you know, Deshaun's career is going to be much shorter than the length of how long that franchise lasts. So I'm always on the player's side. And usually holdouts, I've seen them work out for the player more often than not.
So Aaron Jones could have made more money outside of Green Bay. And he was only drafted in the fifth round, Darius, so he didn't make a lot of money out of college. But he decided, listen, I'd rather play for a winning culture. I got great quarterback. Where do you land? I don't have a problem with either. Money and winning. How do you look at it?
Mm-hmm. Depends on where you are in your career. You know, with Aaron Jones, at the point he is in his career, being a running back, I mean, I wouldn't say go out and try to squeeze every dollar out of any deal. But if you're on a winning franchise and you win year in, year out, you're going to end up making that money. He's going to make it in endorsements. He's going to make it with other things. You don't want to go to some, you know, terrible franchise where you're losing and you're miserable. I'm surprised that he stayed and didn't at least test the free agent, but maybe the market, you know, it didn't look great because of what's going on with the salary cap. So, you see, I would say it depends on the player. It depends on the player in the position you're in. In the position that he's in his career, playing a running back position, I think he made a good choice.
How many times were you a free agent? Once?
Two or three times. I didn't hit the market every time. You know, sometimes I worked it out with with my team, the current team that I was on with the Colts. But two or three times I was a free agent and could have went out there. But like I said, it depends on where you are too, on that kind of pecking order. Are you one of these top guys who are going to be, you know, signed as soon as the talking period starts, or are you going to be a guy who has to wait for a couple guys to be signed and kind of see where you fall? And that was where I was in the pecking order. So usually you want to stay with your team unless there's a much better situation out there for you.
Good stuff. Darius Butler, 9 years in the NFL. He's got a podcast called the Man to Man Pod with Antoine Bethea. Great seeing you again. Enjoy Florida. Your state's been open up a lot more than ours has. So we're just getting going. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was about to say that's Florida for you, man. But I got to go back to something you said right before I came on. UConn with Kimba, we got hot in the Big East tourney back when they won that natty. And so they got hot in the tourney. They got hot in March Madness. So don't count Georgetown and Pat Ewing out yet.
Yeah, by the way, I remember that Kemba tournament. Kemba got hot at the Garden.
Oh, yeah.
He started hitting those step-back threes. And, I remember that. I think Kemba got
– I rub it in my – I was on Pittsburgh, too, Joy.
Yeah, I remember that. Good seeing you, Darius.
Good seeing you, too.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
By the way, sometimes driving's great, sometimes it's not. Winter's over, spring is starting, and spring is wet. Get new Michelin Endurance XT silicone wiper blades. They resist cracking in cold and heat. Only available at Walmart. Joy Taylor with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Darius, make you nervous about your big bet?
No, because I don't think Georgetown's close to as good as UConn was. And also Jim Calhoun, like, won multiple tournaments. I mean, Patrick's a young coach. Calhoun was a legendary coach. So, you know, I mean, two or three things matter in the tournament, and a lot of times it's an experienced coach who's won a lot.
Well, it's too late now anyway.
So I bet big money on Colorado and a little on Oklahoma State.
So the 49ers are breaking the bank to keep offensive lineman Trent Williams in San Francisco. They signed him to a six-year, $138 million deal that includes over $55 million guaranteed. That makes him the highest paid offensive lineman in NFL history. He missed the entire 2019 season, but he returned to form in 2020, elected to his eighth Pro Bowl in his first season with the 49ers.
He is dominant.
He ranks first at his position last season, according to Pro Football Focus, with an overall grade of 91.9.
Yeah, he's a top three or four. It's not about whether they want him. It's about do they want him at the price tag. And they've got several big price tags now, which leads me to believe they're going to draft a quarterback and get cheap at quarterback.
Well, that makes sense. And Jimmy Garoppolo is one of the most unreliable starting quarterbacks in the league, if not the most unreliable. You never know if you're going to have him or not. And generally, when he does get injured, it's at the beginning of the season, therefore torpedoing the rest of your season. And I'm sure that Kyle Shanahan's getting tired of dealing with that. It's not a knock on Jimmy Garoppolo's talents or his ability. We know what he can do when he's healthy. They just have, to your point, so many great pieces that they're paying a lot of money for. They had a ton of injuries last year, not just Jimmy Garoppolo. I mean, they might have been the most injured team in the NFL. They had an obscene amount of injuries. Yeah. So assuming that that's not going to happen again this year, you've got to have someone reliable at that position. You just can't plan for the future of your franchise not knowing if he's going to be out there week to week. So I would draft a quarterback. I'm kind of surprised they haven't made a move for Sam Darnold. Maybe they still will. Maybe they're waiting to see if it gets closer to the draft and the Jets kind of drop the price a little bit. But
I find myself rooting for Sam Darnold. I can acknowledge that.
I would like to see him get another opportunity, but I also think he's good enough to develop. It was a bad situation with the Jets. I don't know. Maybe everyone around the league has a different grade on him than we do, but I think that the circumstances are what greatly affected his time in New York. So the Falcons have restructured Matt Ryan's deal to help create cap space for the 2021 season. They took his base salary this year and converted it into a signing bonus and spread it out over the next 3 years. So this reduced cap hit in 2021, reduced the cap hit from 41 to under 27 million.
So for those of you that think Atlanta should draft a quarterback, I just want to throw this at you. With a coach that got fired, so they weren't exactly humming upstairs. With a coach that got fired, he had a 93 passer rating, was the fifth best pass offense in the NFL, the 12th ranked quarterback, and completed 65.5% of his throws. That's with a coach that got fired. So to me, Atlanta came to their senses. He's not the issue. He's a top, I've always said, he's somewhere 10 to 12 to me. He's a top 10, 12 quarterback in the NFL. They were in shootouts. That was their issue. They couldn't stop anybody.
No, I don't think that Matt Ryan is the issue there. He's just very expensive, which is why they restructured it. It increases his cap hit to $48 million in 2022, but I imagine that they'll figure something out there as well. I like Matt Ryan. I think that just the overall view of the Falcons is that they can't finish games. Like, they're always in some weird situation where they end up blowing the game every week. It's like you keep betting on them.
They are the Bermuda Triangle of my cash.
And it's just impossible to explain. So, I mean, you know, maybe they saged the facility and they figured things out and went over and, you know, had a healer work on his contract and now they're heading in the right direction.
I could be wrong on this. I think I'm 1-9 the last 10 times I've bet Atlanta. I cannot.
Yeah, I tried to stop you the last time.
Oh, and
you wanted to hear nothing of it.
There's just something about, because I, you know, here's the thing. They drop 35 points all the time. So you get points with Atlanta.
Yeah,
just,
but they give up,
I know,
36.
But I just see the offense and it's just delicious. I get Matt Ryan, I get 5 points, and I'm always like, they're going to drop 35. There's not a team in the league. And I've picked them to win the division some years. I'm just done with it.
Is that another rule? We have three now. You're still on Aaron Rodgers. Can't be criticized if he loses to the Bucks. You want to wait till Thanksgiving to evaluate Daniel Jones.
What's my third rule?
Well, you said this was a rule last year and you didn't listen. So you did not abide by this rule that you weren't going to bet the Falcons.
Okay, how
anymore.
About this? No, I'm not going to go there yet. I want to be open-minded because they have a new coach.
Okay.
They finally gave him an offensive guy, so I want to be open-minded.
Ryan, remember this once the season starts and it's Blazing Five? His first week, they're going to be on there, and then we're going to see how this goes. So LeBron James has made it no secret he wants to own an NBA team one day, and he's taking another step towards expanding his investments. He already owned 2% in the Liverpool Football Club, which is now one of the subsidiaries of the Fenway Sports Group, and now he's joining FSG as a partner, himself and Maverick Carter, which will also give him an ownership stake in the Boston Red Sox.
And he's a Yankee fan. But who cares?
Oh, I mean, when you get an opportunity to own a team, it doesn't really matter who you're rooting for at all. But I think this is great. This is what LeBron is at this point in his career. And we talked about this a lot. It was his original stint in Cleveland. He was growing into the league. And he went to Miami and became a champion. Then he went back to Cleveland for, the romantic coming home story. And now he's in the legacy phase of his career.
In the mogul stage.
In the mogul stage, yes. So I love this for LeBron. And I think it's kind of cool that he's able to own a part of a team while still playing.
Magic Johnson, Michael Jordan, LeBron James are the three most successful post-basketball business people ever.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're going to assume
one guy's done it mostly apparel, shoes. One guy has done it
through businesses.
Yeah, Magic's just has a, right, I would call it, he's a relationship billionaire. And then LeBron has been very savvy in investing in other sports. So they've all done it different ways, and it's worked for all three.
I think we can all see LeBron owning a basketball team in the future.
Yeah, and he'll probably not be able to afford a Lakers or a Knicks, but he'll go get a Minnesota.
Well, I mean, when are the Lakers and the Knicks going to be available?
Never. Right. They shouldn't.
Exactly.
Yeah, joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
So yesterday we did the AFC. Today I like them even more. The NFC, the three-word game on judging teams in this offseason. Some new coaches, some new star players.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Drew Rosenhaus stopped by today. It's good to see him. Nick Wright, Darius Butler, Mark Schlereth, good show today. We call it the three-word game. We do it every Monday during the NFL season where we feel we can describe every NFL game in three words. So yesterday we did the AFC. Today we're doing the NFC. There's new coaches. There's new coordinators. There's new free agent stars. There's role players. So let's play the three-word game in the NFC.
Dallas Cowboys.
Dak in saddle. Listen, four-year deal. Third consecutive offseason, they talked about signing him. He'll get a preseason with Mike McCarthy. He started rough last year, but sort of the entire Cowboy team. But now we have continuity at quarterback, second year in a system, should be stronger.
Philadelphia Eagles.
Hurts to watch. They're not completely sold on Jalen Hurts because a week before the owner said we're behind him 100%, there was an article saying they wanted a quarterback competition. They just lost a good corner, Jalen Mills. Zach Ertz has been, you know, given permission to look for a trade. They feel this morning a little bit like a fourth place team.
Washington football team.
Botched magic trick. Ryan Fitzpatrick's now in his 19 and 17 years, and I like him, and his aura is cool and fun. But he's the only quarterback in NFL history with 5,000 passing attempts without ever playing in a playoff game. So he's sort of a mistake-prone, fun, cool gunslinger. I don't get the move.
New York Giants.
Judging too early. Joe Judge went 6-10 first year, but it was a pandemic, no preseason. And they did win five of their last eight games, and they did look like they kind of bought into Joe Judge. Daniel Jones, athletic, give me till Thanksgiving. He did have the NFL's highest passer rating on throws of over 20-plus yards, so he throws a pretty good deep ball.
Green Bay Packers.
Jonesing for title. Aaron Jones is back. I think he's a great player. I think he's a locker room guy. He can catch the ball out of the backfield. Back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons. And how lucky are you that you didn't pay him much when you drafted him and you still got a discount when you first signed him? I think it's a good move by Green Bay.
Minnesota Vikings.
Can't trust Kirk. He's 5-24 against teams with a winning record over the last 4 years. You win a lot of games, but in those big spots, I can't trust him.
Chicago Bears.
Missed Russ Bus. The Super Bowl odds dropped from 40-1 to 50-1 following the signing of Andy Dalton. So they didn't have great odds before. They got worse signing Andy Dalton.
Detroit Lions.
Watch those kneecaps. Dan Campbell, new coach. Lot of stuff here. Lot of testosterone. I don't know. Lot to rebuild. Kenny Galladay is a star. He's on the market. Do not have high hopes for this. Sorry. I wish I did.
Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Brady's bunch returns. First of all, they still have $9.6 million under the cap, and they signed Shaq Barrett, Gronk, Chris Godwin, Levante David, and JPP. And they still got $10 million. So they're apparently using one of those Swiss banks. Well, Tampa's down there in Bermuda banks. Things work out. We find money for you in the Caymans.
New Orleans Saints.
Not easy breezy. They're currently $7 million over the cap, and they've had a lot of losses. Drew Brees, Janoris Jenkins, Jared Cook, Emmanuel Sanders. So they're shaving players, and they're still $7 million over the cap. And Tampa's re-signing players and playing with more confidence now. They won a Super Bowl. So I think it's a... I think Sean Payton and Jameis may work, but they got a ways to go.
Atlanta Falcons.
Saving Matt Ryan. Well, their pass defense was the worst in the NFL. I don't get them drafting a quarterback. Said that 2 months ago, didn't get it. So they restructured his contract. So it's not much of a cap hit this year. It's a $50 million cap hit or close to it next year. So what it tells you, they're not moving off him. So they're not drafting a quarterback. They shouldn't. What they should do is Atlanta's in the number four spot. Any linebacker, and they need linebackers. And any corner, and they need corners. And any edge rusher, and they need an edge rusher. That you would get at four would be overdrafting him. So what they should do is move down to a 10, a 12, a 15 spot in the first round. That's when you could draft a corner or an edge rusher, and it would be the right spot for him. So the draft is going to be quarterbacks and offensive linemen and receivers in the first 8-9 picks. That's not what they need. they should move down in the draft.
Carolina Panthers.
Flirting with quarterbacks. 4-11 Bridgewater. Physical limitations, the reports say. Matt Rhule, listen, bridge quarterback. We thought it was a bridge quarterback for 2 years. It appears Teddy Bridgewater was a bridge quarterback for 1 year, and they've been rumored to be in on every quarterback on the market. There's another place Sam Darnold could go, right there.
San Francisco 49ers.
Trade for Darnold. He's got more starts in his first 3 years with the Jets, 38, than Garoppolo has in his career, 32. I mean, that's part of it. Now, I think they're going to go the college way with all these big contracts, but Sam's basically free for a year. And then, it's not a quarterback-centric offense. You could probably get him for a fairly decent number. I'd like to see it happen. Got to be honest, I'm rooting for Darnold after having to endure the Adam Gase years.
Seattle Seahawks.
Russell Wilson's war. First quarterback in NFL history to have winning seasons in each of his first 9 years. He went public. He made it kind of messy. Drew Rosenhaus told us earlier, he doesn't like doing that. You know, you back a line into a corner, it's fight or flight. So Seattle went, listened to Chicago. Chicago came out, Joy said earlier, 3 first-rounders, 3rd-rounder, and 2 starters. Seattle slept on it and decided not to move him. But it is a strained relationship where Pete Carroll has a little more power than Russell Wilson wants.
Los Angeles Rams.
A new Stafford. They traded for Matt Stafford just 14 days after they lost to the Green Bay Packers, divisional round of the playoffs. I do think he's an upgrade over Goff. Last year, they won 10 games in a playoff game. I think it's reasonable to think they would win 11 games and maybe 2 playoff games. Don't know if it gets them past Tampa, but he's an upgrade. He's a big arm guy, and the analytics people will tell you he throws a better ball in a crowded, what they call muddy pocket than Goff does. Goff's a little bit more of a system guy, so Matt Stafford, now a Ram.
Arizona Cardinals.
What a start. Cardinals now have the top 2 players in sacks since 2012, Chandler Jones and J.J. Watt. As we predicted, he took the position. Large part, he liked Arizona. He liked the weather. His wife's also a professional athlete. So they got a pass rush, which they were already top 4 in the league at it. But I think Arizona looked at it and thought, okay, we got the quarterback right with Kyler Murray. I got Russell Wilson twice a year, Kyle Shanahan twice a year, now Matt Stafford twice a year. I got to make him as uncomfortable as I possibly can. So Chandler Jones and J.J. Watt doesn't get as many sacks as Chandler Jones, but gets lots of hurries and rushes. A little bit like Carl Lawson, who signed with the Jets yesterday, gets a lot of hurries on the quarterback, not necessarily a lot of sacks. So there you go. There you go. Nice job today by everybody. Supplement I take every day is M-Drive, powerful ingredients backed by science. We're all getting older. It's inevitable. Don't let age define you. So the Chicago Bears, you know, not a great day. I keep talking about Darnold. Marcus Mariota's out there. Go back to Marcus Mariota's 4 years in Tennessee. Wasn't he 9-7, 9-7, 9-7? You know, we're all falling in love with Darnold, who can be a little reckless. My knock on Mariota, he's a little reckless. Marcus Mariota's won a lot of games in the NFL. I think his last 3 years in Tennessee, we'll look it up here. So, like, that name's just disappeared into the ether. Marcus Mariota is available. That's better than Ryan Fitzpatrick. That's better than – isn't that better than Andy Dalton? I mean, if I'm Chicago, I would have taken Mariota over Andy Dalton. Everybody sold all their stock on Marcus Mariota. Really?
I mean, Andy Dalton had some good years, too.
Yeah, but he's not athletic, and Chicago's O-line's not very good. Like, everybody's just sold their stock on Marcus Mariota. He can play.
Yeah.
Okay, here's his records. In Tennessee, 8-7, 9-6, 7-6. He's a winning quarterback. He's Trubisky with a more accurate, viable arm. That to me made more sense. I don't get it. What do I know? I'm just America's media icon. I mean, other than that, what's the big deal, I guess? I don't know. All right, speak for yourself around the corner for joining everybody else. It's The Herd.